We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah! What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the ever-expanding Eurostep Podcast Network. Let me put some respect on the bosses. Blue Wire also always expanding, but maybe of more localized interest, Eurostep Podcast Network also expanding. Two new shows, as you know, if you listened to the podcast earlier this week, introducing our new Packers pod, Talk of the Tundra, and our new quote-unquote junk drawer pod, Make Time for This. We won't get too deep into those things again, but if you're looking for more information, listen to the last podcast on this here Eurostep feed. Rohan, you're laughing. Rohan Kadi, my wonderful co-host. What's so funny, Rohan?
I thought you were going to say quote-unquote host.
Introduce
Newmak that way.
No, well, I guess you just did it. That's Newmak's wonderful introduction on this pod. Newmak is known on Twitter, staple of the GSPN Discord. Follow him on Twitter, interact with him on Discord, and listen to Talk of the Tundra this season and beyond for great Green Bay Packers coverage. Newmak, excited to chat with you on here today. But first off, how's it going? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you realizing what you've gotten yourself into yet? What's the mental state?
Doing well. Doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. Pretty much 99% feeling good, feeling excited to get into the Packers season, and the 1% of nerves is to impress the fellow listeners with my endless bounds of useless Packers knowledge.
The 1% of the 1% of the 1%. This is going to be an off the... Rohan's too young to get a Bernie Sanders reference, but this is going to be...
Or just young enough. Bernie Sanders is the Gen Z guy.
That's true. Let's discuss... Rohan, any thoughts on Talk of the Tundra before we move on?
Also, how are you?
It's going to be... I'm fine. Ty knows this by now. I'm fine. I'm excited. I'm excited for Talk of the Tundra. I'm glad we have expanded into all of major Wisconsin sports now. Like, we've got football, we've got baseball, we've got basketball. It's great times. Make sure you subscribe to Cruising for Bruising Baseball, and now make sure you subscribe to Talk of the Tundra for Packers. And also... make time for this, for just any random stuff. Plus, Caption and Celluloid's going to be there. You guys know what that is.
It's a good flag. Pop culture, movie, not pop culture, movies and television podcasts with GSPN Zone, Adam McGee, and Andrew Snyder. Also, of course, hosts of Cruising for a Bruising. We might have gone overboard on plugs, but GSPN.info, find everything you're looking for.
It's in the name. You want information about the Eurostep Podcast Network?
Exactly.
GSPN.info.
That's right.
You'll find everything you need there.
It's all there for you. So let's talk about, well, not really Bucks, a little Bucks, but as the title of this pod is, fine, we'll talk about Kevin Durant. Outside of Rohan saying he's going to come for the Bucks. He's going to get bought out and waived and stretched and signed with the Bucks.
No, that was Dame. That was Dame.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
That's right.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth there and ruin your reputation as a front office guru or anything. But Kevin Durant saga.
Coming through Bobby Marks.
I think Danny Ainge has said that before, and it worked out pretty well. But the Kevin Durant saga has obviously weighed over the entire NBA offseason. Hasn't affected the Milwaukee Bucks too much. Maybe Jordan Wara, TBD, but really has not gotten in the Bucks way, right? Like, they made all their moves. Their roster stands at 14 plus Wara plus two-way. So, you know, we really haven't had to dive into the whole situation too much. Also, there are literally hundreds of people doing this obsessively. But I think now that we do have some resolution, and in a couple days or a day, maybe just before that, Shams Charania reported the Bucks made a call. So we'll get into how we feel about that, I guess, what we think that actually means. But Kevin Durant, the resolution, honestly, kind of a baller move, tweeted out in a graphic from at Brooklyn Nets. This is how we got this news. The following statement has been released by general manager Sean Marks. Still got my job? No, I'm just kidding. Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wusai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. And then it's got the Nets logo and the boardroom Kevin Durant's media company logo at the bottom. So after all of what happened, and to be quite honest, this is part of why we weren't diving in every week with fervor, because it was all just rumors. None of it really meant all that much until something happened. And lo and behold, nothing is really happening, which is just a beautiful indictment, I think, on how NBA news cycles work sometimes. But KD's going to be a Net. So we'll start with you, Rohan. What were your first thoughts when this news came across the Twitter feed?
It didn't really shock me, honestly, because I thought the Kevin Durant trade died the moment that DeAndre Ayton signed an offer sheet from Indiana. Because his clear destination that he wanted to go to was Phoenix. I think that was reported from the beginning. Just it made sense. They're a great team. You would make them an absolute juggernaut of a team. And they had an asset that they would be willing to do like a sign trade with, like you can make the things work in DeAndre Ayton. But once DeAndre Ayton signed that offer sheet with Indiana, that precluded him from being involved in any sort of Kevin Durant trade and effectively killed off the market. So it did not shock me at all, because we've seen this sort of play out before. I know it was mentioned in 2007 with Kobe Bryant, that debacle, where he requested to be traded from the Lakers, and they ended up just moving forward, and history is history. But it did not shock me. Once the Suns were out, I knew the KD trade was not really going to happen.
Numak, what were your KD thoughts before? I have a whole diatribe on the whole KD trade thing, but what was your thoughts when the news, quote-unquote news, again, right. It's like, is any of this really news? It's just all people saying things. There's no actual transaction or something that's officially happened. It's just like KD making up his mind, which doesn't seem to mean all that much in the long term. But Numak, what was your thought on this?
First and foremost, let's give a big round of applause to DeAndre Ayton for making sure that Kevin Durant doesn't become a Phoenix Sun, because that would have been probably pretty catastrophic for the Bucks' title chances going forward. I thought the statement was loser energy, to be honest. Moving forward with our partnership might be the worst way to ever describe, yeah, we're a team again, for sure, for this year, ever. Like, I think there's a little more connectedness and interpersonal happenings on a team than a partnership or a contract.
Well, I think they mean with just KD and the Nets is what that means, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but it still sounds just so...
Yeah, we're moving forward with our partnership.
Well, go ahead, keep going, then I'll...
Yeah, so they should have maybe thought about that a little more. Yeah, but similar to what Rohan said, once DeAndre Ayton signed the offer sheet, I was pretty certain he wasn't going to get traded. I would have saw him similar to what Ben Simmons did before he got traded, just because nobody had the assets. You couldn't trade Bam for CBA rules, and Boston wasn't going to blow it up to get him, because then it just makes them worse. Not makes them a little better than they were for the finals team, but not so much better that they might not lose in these playoffs. So that's my take.
I mean, KD did just get swept, although I don't know how many people would blame him for it by the Boston Celtics. My thing
exactly.
My thing with the whole situation, and I think the statement just the fact that they got there means even if they botched it a little bit, it's not loser energy to me. Because I think if they got him back by firing Sean Marks and Steve Nash, and look, you could say they should fire Steve Nash. Maybe they should. They kind of can't now after all this.
Steve Nash is probably like, great, I have to keep coaching.
I know. Steve Nash is like, oh,
I just want to go play soccer, man.
Everybody tells me you get hired, you coach two bad years, you get fired, you cash those checks, you watch soccer in person. He's just waiting for it to happen.
You're a former player coaching the Nets. He was getting ready to come to Milwaukee.
He had that TNT contract inked for like 10 games a year, and he's furious right now. But I think if you get KD back by doing that, I think no matter what you say, that's loser energy. I think the Nets more or less won in terms of – and there was just this whole idea that really frustrated me that was like, well, they have to trade him now because he said so.
Right.
Who cares if he has 4 years left? If the best offer is Mikhail Bridges and Frank Kaminsky's gone, Dario Saric and two picks, they've got to take it. No, they don't.
No.
Kevin Durant was never – ever going to get traded for peanuts. And I think it's crazy that there was this idea that, oh, the Nets have no leverage. They don't have to do it. It's not like there's like some CBA rule that's like, oh, player demanded a trade, you got to trade him now to one of his markets. I didn't think it was dead when Ayton signed the offer sheet. I thought Phoenix was out. I thought there was a chance Toronto goes all in or Boston goes all in. Because it is Kevin Durant. But I kind of just thought, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. It could go either way at that point. I didn't think Miami as much just because I don't think Miami has the stuff, to be quite honest with you, unless they're like, we'll trade you Jimmy and one of the other and a lot of the young players. But if you're Miami, then why are you really even doing that?
Right.
So, I mean, I just didn't think all that much about it in general because, again, it's just like so much noise for not much actually happening. But it was just crazy to me that people assumed, oh, the Nets lost their leverage. Now they – the fact that Joe Tsai said they're not going to continue kowtowing to Kevin Durant, like just a franchise with zero willpower, which they've done for the last 2 years, 3 years, means that they have no leverage and they have to take one first round pick and OG Anunoby and Gary Trent. Like, of course they're not going to do that. It's Kevin Durant. I'd rather not make a trade and make him sit out than take back that kind of a package. So I'm not surprised it's not happening. It's just so hard to trade for a guy like that. I also thought maybe New Orleans. I think New Orleans with a lot of their picks, whether they include Brandon Ingram or not, they could get their salary young players. I wouldn't have been shocked if a team traded for him, but I always knew it wasn't going to be like, you know, it's August. It's months before the season. There's no reason for them to be like, yeah, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and one pick. Like, I just wouldn't want to do that.
Exactly. And to reiterate, I don't mean loser as in like loser as in winners. Losers as in lame. They couldn't have sounded more like,
that's fair.
Yes. You can't say like we're committed to this partnership or something. We're moving forward.
The last sentence I think is even worse.
Yeah.
What was the last sentence again?
The one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship. You're automatically a lasting franchise. You're in the NBA. What do you think this is? You're not going to fold a lasting franchise. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. This is worded terribly. I didn't read it that closely.
Yeah,
I saw Shams tweet first and pretend he reported it. So then I just saw, oh, the Nets actually did this.
Yeah.
But the best part about the statement, though, is the boardroom logo, right?
So good. Yeah. It's like, we're not lying, we put his PNG down there. So it's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to say Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the agent always gets in the comms now. That's the new way.
He's not even like an agent anymore. He's like a mogul.
Who is Kevin Durant's agent?
I think it's technically Rich Kleiman.
Oh, is it still? Yeah, but he is.
He's more than an agent.
I get what you're saying. That is funny though.
Yeah, it's like imagine the Bucks put out a statement with the GSPN logo on it.
Oh, it'd be so heat.
Would that be if Javon Carter is committed to the franchise?
That's right.
Yeah.
Javon Carter, buy us.
Yeah.
I'm down. We will literally, you know how if you ever listen to PFF, I feel like they always bring up Chris Collinsworth in a positive light somehow. We will do that for you, Javon. Every pod. We kind of already do that.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have to change that much. You know who would really have covered that curl route better than Eric Stokes? Football Javon Carter.
Which might just be Eric Stokes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Solid comp right there, actually.
Yeah, talk of the tundra. Get ready, baby. The Brooklyn Nets, then. I don't want to dive too deep. I think Rohan will probably do previews for the NBA or at least the major teams at some point later in the offseason. But you know, for when I look at this team, I see a huge gap between the floor and the ceiling. Like, I do think that I think it's wise to consider them contenders because they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And despite your thoughts on those guys, like, if they're playing and healthy and it doesn't seem like there's a mandate anymore, they can be really good. And I think they may not be.
Kyrie has not played for different reasons other than the mandate, to be clear.
It's fair. It's fair. But I'm saying the upside. Like, there's an easy universe where they're a very feared team who I think can give almost any team a run for their money.
And there's, Ben Simmons might play.
There's a lot of ifs in
hot
that.
Take.
In
hot take.
Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Joe Harris, and
Tristan Thompson.
He's not there yet. Let's not bring Simmons Tristan Thompson.
Ben Simmons is definitely coming back from the gas station with cigarettes.
I'm not listing their players. I'm listing their players with serious health concerns. And obviously there's the off, like, maybe those guys want to leave again thing, which who knows how settled that is. But they just have this really, just like really volatile in terms of playing status roster that I think is, it feels impossible to me that they actually have an overall great season and make a championship run. But the upside is there if a lot of things go right. I also, they need a big guy. Nick Claxton and Ben Simmons, like, it's literally, like, what if Ben Simmons was worse but actually played? That's Nick Claxton, in my opinion. Yeah. I know it's obviously much better offensively. But defensively, that's kind of it. And I feel like people love Nick Claxton's switchability so much, they overlook the fact that he's not a paint defender. And they don't have one, and I think they need one. And I keep seeing, oh, KD will play center. Ben Simmons will play center. Nick Claxton will play center. The Bucks had some defensive issues with Giannis playing center. Like, it's hard to get through without any real centers. So I think they have a lot of good perimeter defenders. I do think they're going to be without a big. And if Tristan Thompson's the answer, I don't know what question you're really
small
asking.
Small ball extraordinaire, according to – I forget who
that,
I
was that?
I think it was a national guy.
I think it was. I don't remember who now.
I think it might have been SVG, you know.
It was, because I remember you cussing out SVG for that reason.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that Jared Allen – part aspect of the trade for that was when James Harden got traded to the Nets, right? Yeah, the Jared Allen part of that trade has actually bitten them and pretty badly.
It's massively back.
He was literally an all-star.
Yeah. Like, if they have Jared Allen, they're a significant contender.
Yeah.
As opposed to a fringe contender.
And that's another example of just like, you know, maybe just don't do everything Kevin Durant says. Maybe fight him sometimes. Although we all know the ceiling of that team could have still been pretty crazy. But Jared Allen would be perfect for this Nets team. But Rohan, what do you think about the Nets as constructed right now?
I think they had top end talent is obviously there. There's no denying that. So obviously, like you said, Ty, that makes them like somewhat formidable come playoff time. Like, you have at worst a top five guy on the planet. That's something you need to worry about. Like, Kevin Durant still is that guy. even though he's 34 now, I believe, like, he's still that dude. He can still
Last playoffs? There's a top five guy. I guess Jokic got swept too, so maybe they do get swept sometimes.
I think it's apples and oranges.
I think they're Jokic, both. I mean, Jokic won a round.
Jokic and Durant being swept is not their own fault. Like, Jokic had not a lot around him. He had not a lot around him. Like, Jamal Murray being out. And, like, Kevin Durant, like, again, if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure Kyrie played last playoffs. Did he not?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he hadn't played most of the year, but he did play.
Very not
but
well,
he
did, though.
Right, so I think it's apples and oranges to...
Patty Mills shot, like, 55% in those playoffs. I'm just saying. Right. Win a game. Right.
Exactly.
How much is around Luka? A $110 million man, but he's gone now.
KD was
and a tampering charge.
He was already going to be at Mike James's playoff games.
My God, Mike James.
Shout out.
But
I know it's a facetious argument, a facetious thing I said. Go ahead.
But to answer your question, like, there's still potentially going to be a dangerous team. You have to account for it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you have to account for it. Like, they have the ceiling of a top three team in the East.
Yeah, I think pretty easily.
Top three?
Yeah.
I think they could be on par or better than the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could be better than the Celtics in the right scenario. The Celtics are not a team who's going to punish you down low repeatedly, right? Like, that's not really their MO. I think the Nets, if they have all these switchable defenders, could make life really hard. I mean, we saw how hard life was for the Celtics offensively at times in the playoffs. I think the Nets could absolutely do that with Claxton, and Joe Harris is okay. If Joe Harris plays, it's kind of something no one talks about.
Ben Simmons is a really good defender.
Ben Simmons as your head of the snake.
And TJ Warren. If half the roster,
if half the
Nets roster plays, they could be good.
It's I just think between the health and the, they have no culture and haven't since they got KD and Kyrie.
Steve Nash's TikToks aren't doing it for you.
He gets so much unnecessary heat for just being a good dad and husband or whatever.
I didn't say it's a bad thing. I'm saying they should embrace that.
But people do. People use it to denigrate him. It's bad. But.
Work-life balance, people. Learn.
Yeah, I admire Steve Nash for how he conducts his life.
I think I might be a bigger fan of Steve Nash now than I was before.
I just don't want him coaching my basketball team, but I enjoy the man as a person. I just can't see it going right. And maybe they make a trade. Maybe they're just so good. But I do think what's going to be annoying about them is they scream. And again, it didn't work out at all for them last year. But they scream to be a team that's like, oh, they're so dangerous and they're finishing seventh or sixth. So an actual good team has to play them in the first round, which is annoying. Again, it didn't really matter to Boston at all. But that's how I feel like their season's going to go. Guys miss time, whatever else happens. Maybe Kyrie leaves for a month, goes to North Dakota or whatever he does. But I don't think they're going to finish with a top record. But I do agree that, you know, you don't really want to play them, even if it went really poorly for them doing this last season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's like they're a team you don't want to face. Like you don't want to face Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
The Bucks might.
Yeah, they might. But maybe, the Bucks are sickos.
Yeah. Well, and I do.
But
think,
in the best way possible. Let me be clear.
I mean, what better way to rub the foot on the line thing in their face if the Bucks just like totally creamed the Nets in the playoffs?
That's what the Celtics just did last year.
Into my veins. Yeah. Into my vein.
Like the Celtics lost to the Nets two seasons ago.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That is right.
And they came back the next season.
They got obliterated by the Nets 2 years
ago. It's like what the Bucks did to the Heat two seasons ago.
Yeah.
It's like they lose to them in the bubble and then they come back, sweep them. That's what the Celtics did to the Nets.
Yep.
So I think you're right. The Bucks would love to face them again, except for the problem is, like, the Bucks already beat them the first time. So
I don't like that trend that we're setting up.
That's fair. That's a fair point, Umar. Let's talk about your favorite topic, Rohan. Kevin Durant on the Bucks. Almost happened. No, not really. But reportedly, here's exactly what was written by Shams. This was reported by him. The Philadelphia 76ers expressed recent interest in Durant, while the Milwaukee Bucks and Denver Nuggets also inquired with the Nets in late June and early July to gauge the price tag, according to sources.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love it.
What do you think would have been the right price for the Bucks to say yes?
For the Bucks to say yes?
Yeah, obviously the Nets are going to say no to everything. I think that's we should apply that and imply that going in.
Yeah, I think it'd be Chris. You can trade, I think, one pick now.
Yeah, like 29, I think is now.
Yeah, available. I think it's 29. Marjan.
Yep.
Grayson.
Is that too much salary then?
No, probably. No, it's not.
Really? Was Kevin on 40, 45?
Yeah. And this is just to make salaries, right? I think you have to include Chris, George Hill, and Grayson alongside Marjan, plus whatever pick you can trade.
Yeah, the seconds. They have a few second-rounders,
all the seconds. That's basically what the Bucks could do.
Yeah, it's here's the scenario I've seen passed around as a question. Would you do Chris Andrew if they wanted to remain competitive?
Absolutely not.
Devil's advocate. Giannis and KD together, I don't know if they're better, but there's a chance they are better.
There definitely is a chance that they are better because you are pairing two of the greatest forwards in the history of basketball on the same team.
Yeah.
Is obviously very, very appealing.
They changed their identity as a team on a dime. That's why I don't think they're better with them is because by the time they're actually in their groove of how they'll want to operate as a team, both offensively and defensively, Kevin Durant's going to be 35, 36 rather than 34. And
that's still might be okay.
He's had an injury history with his legs. I'm not too keen on the next year three years from now. I don't think it's going to be.
I think Giannis, KD, and Drew win the next three titles.
Yeah, I love Chris. As much as I love Chris, I do the Chris and everything trade, I think.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, Chris is having as many injury issues as KD over the last year or two. And that's, I think, what factors into it the most for me.
And this is a very pro Chris Middleton podcast to be
100%.
Right.
As soon as he can, his jersey's going up in Pfizer. As soon as he can.
Right under 2-4 here.
Yep. Ty's background.
Yep.
For those of you not watching on YouTube, which you can subscribe to, by the way, Eurostep Podcast Network on YouTube. Chris, I love you to death, man. But if it's KD, you're out of here. I'll drive you to the airport, man.
I think being able – and KD right now is healthy, to be clear. There's no – you never know his age and his past.
We just saw him play 40 minutes a game plus in the playoffs.
Yeah. But I think being able to – what he has not been able to do in years, when he is active, the Bucks are like, yeah, you're going to play 31 minutes today. You're going to play. We don't need you to play that much, right? If you still have Drew and Giannis and Brooke, et cetera, like you're fine. And the role they could Serge Ibaka, Thanasis, the role they could give him until the playoffs would be so good for him, I think, for this stretch run of his career. And maybe even if they did have to give up Chris and Drew. I don't think I'd do that because that's what the Nets did, right? And the Nets didn't have Giannis to add him to, but you're really tearing down your culture. And I just don't know if that actually works out for you. But I think if it's just Chris, you know, I think you patch it over with Giannis. Who knows if Giannis is even upset, man? Giannis loves KD. Everyone loves KD.
Giannis loves Chris, but I'm sure Giannis loves KD.
Giannis loves winning championships too, I think. So, you know, as much as it would hurt and it would be a somewhat of a bittersweet day, I'm doing, we love Marjan, a very pro Marjan podcast.
Everyone knows my thoughts on Marjan.
We love Marjan. We are driving Marjan to Mitchell International if it's Marjan.
I'll drive him to O'Hare if he wants to get a cheaper rate.
I'll drive him to Barclays.
For yeah, I'll free. Take a road trip.
I have a Toyota. I got it, man. It's not that bad for me.
I don't know if I do it for the sole purpose of to bring in another GSPN pod of cruising for a bruising and messing up the culture in the locker room. Like,
yeah,
we saw what the Josh Hader did to that clubhouse, and I think trading Chris Middleton would have the same impact.
They're not trading Chris Middleton for CJ McCollum, who is right. The Taylor Rogers of this scenario.
But
they're trading him for, if they traded Josh Hader for Juan Soto, I think they'd be okay.
I think the equivalent would be like you're trading Josh Hader for prime CC Sabathia.
That works with me too.
You're trading Chris Middleton for what is effectively Trevor Rosenthal of vibes.
No, but you can't say that and ignore the player.
I guess.
We always say that Chris Middleton does KD things. What if we just had KD?
Yeah.
I don't think we need to overthink this. KD no. is A-Rod, much how about better
A-Rod?
Player.
Nobody likes A-Rod, right? Trade for prime A-Rod? Sure. I'll buy the jersey, dude. I'll defend him online. I don't care. All star
PDs.
I'll do it. I'll do it on the pod. Like,
bro, I will make so many burners to reply to KD's sweet game. Like,
like there's a level. I get where you're coming. I do understand your point, Newmark, and it would kill me. I want to see Chris and Giannis play together for the rest of Chris's career. Him retire a buck. I think that would be awesome. There's just a certain level you get to where it's like, all right, if we can add 3 rings in the next 5 years, right. I think we kind of have to. And maybe they do that anyway, but with KD, right. You're just
your
in
chances
a different
are
place.
Much higher.
Yeah.
To give context, I've always been team like keep the core.
Yeah, yeah.
We are too.
There's
before Drew, like before the Drew trade, like the season before Eric Bledsoe really sucked. I was like team keep Bledsoe because they're just like. I liked him as a person, and I have a very tough time separating the person from the player.
Which is why you never want Aaron Rodgers to retire, because everyone just loves him so much.
Oh, I didn't say that. He could retire. Oh, we'll leave that for Tonga Tundra.
Yeah.
Listen to Tonga Tundra. You can hear my Aaron Rodgers takes.
Ayahuasca pod coming next offseason.
But just to be clear, also, one thing we didn't talk about, Drew Holiday does not get it done. It has to be Chris.
You're not trading Drew, you're saying?
No. I'm like saying the Nets wouldn't do Drew Holiday.
They wouldn't do either.
No, if we're saying you would do Chris Middleton and everything package, I don't think a Drew Holiday and everything package would even come close.
No.
I think a Chris Middleton plus everything package doesn't scratch the surface for the Nets, but that's the best the Bucks can do. The Drew Holiday plus everything package is worth
it. That's an interesting... Really?
I think so.
I think Drew has more value around the league than Chris.
I don't think he's valuable enough on offense.
I don't think so.
It's probably team dependent.
Well, yeah. Like, his defense is obviously what should be every year all-NBA level, but he clearly has some shortcomings in the playoffs when it comes to his offense.
Chris is a bona fide scorer. That's more valuable.
Yep. Offense always matters.
He's a 20 point per game guy.
Is he that much more consistent offensively than Drew?
Yes.
But he's healthy,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Pulling up playoff stats.
All we need to pull up is the circle of Chris. The
cycle. That's the whole point of the consistency issue. The fact that there's a circle
Drew Holiday,
so we can
Drew
justify half of his
the
games.
Playoffs is worse. It's worse.
I know, but his defense is like a billion times better, and he's a better distributor.
I know, but offense has more value than defense in the league.
There's more to offense than scoring. Drew can dribble.
Yeah, Drew can. I mean, Chris can also pass. Chris is one of the best passers on the team. He's been a +5 assist guy for like the last 3 years.
Yeah, I know, but I think Drew is a better ball handler.
So you think Drew has more value around the league than Chris?
I think, especially given injuries, yeah.
I strongly disagree.
Drew averaged 17 and 8.7 assists in the playoffs in the title.
What are the shooting splits?
40 and 30. Compared to Chris, 43.8 and 34.3.
So better.
Yeah, of course. I didn't argue they're not better. Chris is inconsistent offensively. I think in a vacuum, I'd rather have Drew. I think Chris works on this team. Are we going to act like his defense was better than bad, Chris, the last year or so?
No, I'm not going to argue with you there.
I just think he's such a difficult player to work into most teams.
Chris?
Chris.
Yes.
What?
A shooter?
as a top two, three star. Obviously, you could put him on the Warriors and he'd be fine.
No, I think you could put Chris on any team and he'd score 20 a game.
You could put Chris on any team and he'd fit in.
Yeah, he would fit in if you have ball handlers. Why are you so shocked?
I don't know how to process it.
I think it's more shocking that you don't think Chris could like fit in on any team and still score 20 a game.
Like, I think he probably could. In half the games, he's going to score 26. In half the games, he's going to... That's just Chris. I think he's a polarizing player. I would not be That's surprised facts. If half the league was low on him. I think Drew is more consensus value.
Drew is younger. He's more durable. Like yeah. he's shown he's more durable. He plays better defense. I think Chris, you just have to look at it this way. Like, the coaches voted Chris an all-star, not Drew.
That's a good point. The Eastern Conference coaches, but still.
Yeah. Like if they
There's also a positional thing there, no?
Or did it not matter? They let the
I don't think it mattered. Yeah, I don't think it mattered.
So you could say, like, the coaches, they picked
And more. Did we not agree in real time that was the bad call on this very
we
podcast?
Did. We did. Okay. We did indeed. But
My thing is this. Chris, fit on the teams is wrong, but I think – It's kind of funny. It's almost like what the Bucks ask of him to do is a little too much sometimes of just being that extra offensive hub. On a team with more ball dominant players, he would look better. On a team with less ball dominant players, he would look worse.
Agreed.
He's the second most ball dominant guy on the Bucks.
And that's why their half court offense has difficulty every playoffs, despite Giannis being Giannis.
Fair enough.
I agree.
I think Chris is great. To be clear, love Chris. Would hate to trade him.
Yeah, we love both of them. We love both.
Yeah, we love both.
We're trying to say which one's better.
More valuable than better. I think Drew is better, personally, at this point.
It's so hard because it varies. The problem is it varies so much. It depends on who you're going against. Like Drew being able to lock down like the number one guy on most teams and be able to defend across positions. Is critical in the playoffs. Like, it's very, very important. But it's obviously more important in, like, a Phoenix series in the finals when he can aptly guard Devin Booker and Chris Paul without hesitation. But
yeah, and who did Drew need to lock down this playoffs? Marcus Smart? Like, it's team-dependent.
Right, and that's where...
Your opponent dependent.
Probably should have used him on Jason Tatum more.
Yeah.
But George Hill had to be out there.
That's where the rub is that, like, in the Nets series... Chris was a lot more valuable given his scoring, and like they needed to get scoring from somewhere because Drew was so bad on offense, and so it's just it really just kind of depends on the matchup, and that's why it's so close to decide who is more valuable.
Yeah. It is very close. I think we can all say that.
Yeah,
it's very, very close.
Yeah, and I agree.
I just think
Drew's offense is not as good. I also think we gloss over. Like Chris scores 13 against Brooklyn game one and 17 game two and 19 game three. And then of course there's 38 in game six. Like there's just these swings that to me, despite like Chris's best offensive performances, it's like Paul George stuff. We've talked about this, but there's just such this swing that to me, I think Drew's defense is more consistent than Chris's offense. And that makes a big difference to me. I also think if Drew wasn't asked to do as much defensively, maybe we'd see slightly more efficiency on the other end. And Chris has been able to prioritize offense because Drew is there. They kind of coexist in some ways.
He gives me vibes of like Klay Thompson, like now. Yeah. Like Klay is probably going to score 15 a game, should 10, 15 a game after like post-injury. But he might just go for 45. And that's just, you have to live with it. And that's kind of like what Chris has been the past 4 years.
Yeah, Chris is, I think, kind of always been a better ball handler or distributor than Klay, which is not saying a ton. But
right, I'm not making a direct comparison. It's vibes of, like, if you don't pay attention to Chris and Klay, they're going to kill you.
Yeah, like, Chris has to be more for the Bucks, which is why it's so complicated.
Yep.
Which is why I wanted John Wall.
That's right.
I think Chris and like the Hornets would be a lot of fun.
Ooh.
Chris with LaMelo. Something like that. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Can you imagine? Instead of Miles Bridges on the through the legs off the backboard oop, it's Chris Middleton.
I don't think that's where Chris would be on the court during that play. I think they have a Plumlee or something to do that. Oh, now I want to see Mason Plumlee do that.
It's like, remember, if you guys see the clip where Tyler Hero tries to throw a lob to Udonis Haslam, and he just like catches the ball and falls.
Oh, that's the big man news we should talk about. He's coming back 20 seasons.
Yeah,
congrats to him. Get to
I'm sure Nikias is thrilled.
Yeah. Probably one game. I think he's on a one game a year plan now.
Pretty sure Nikias tweeted an ellipsis, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah,
I think at the crux of this all, I think we would take KD on the Bucks,
but not for both.
Not for both.
And Newmach would say no unless it's Grayson. Because scale it up, Grayson, Brooke, or no, maybe no Brooke too. Grayson Hill.
I wouldn't trade for him, which is why I'm not. I'm not a John Horst.
You just wouldn't do
I'd be an awful GM across any sport because I'd be too scared to hurt feeling.
You'd be Danny Ainge.
That's right.
Late stage Celtics Danny Ainge.
Almost making trades. I mean, he's doing it right now with Utah. Like, yeah, how have they not traded Donovan Mitchell
yet? You know what honestly makes me sick? He was Danny right Ainge? Every time not to do it.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
But I didn't hate win a title.
Yeah, but you think they're winning one with Anthony Davis leaving after a year?
Kawhi?
Yeah, maybe Kawhi.
Raptors traded for him, won a title.
I mean,
yeah, but the Celtics weren't as good then as the Raptors were.
Let's also not act like the Raptors title wasn't a brief gust of wind in this arena.
Oh, we got a whole new person for Raptors Twitter to find now. At Newmach is known. We got to get those followers up somehow.
We've got a three pod saga now with Raptors.
That's right. That's right.
I think they might be off of us now. I think they have other issues.
Bring me your poutine recipes and your kindness, please, and thank you.
But not Tim Hortons coffee, because I heard it's not good anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Sad.
Shout out Tim Hortons. No free ads.
Apparently
your country,
not.
Your country is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a nice country.
We all kind of want to live there, given Wave's hands here. But, you know, we're not.
Yeah. Given, you know, the general everything.
Yeah. Any other Kevin Durant thoughts?
I'm so happy it's done.
I feel like a Chris hater now.
I don't feel like a hater of either one of them. It's just like...
No, Chris, I think Chris they're both great.
They
I
have
love them both a lot.
I think the Bucks big three is one of the most complicated ecosystems of three-star players you could find. But it works. They all
You're
going to
say
other.
It's more complicated than KD, James Harden, and Kyrie.
Yes, theirs was very simple.
Like in
weird
basketball?
Weird dudes put ball in hoop.
Okay, in That's basketball, it. I'll agree.
Yeah, I'm talking about. I'm talking on court.
Okay.
Off court,
it's
they're
like,
all
it's
just
like those memes where Steve Nash's whiteboard is just like
Steve's secret plays. Yeah. Do you know the origin of that meme?
Yeah, it's Space Jam, right?
No. The OG was Scott's secret plays. Scott Brooks when he coached the Thunder, and it was just like Kevin, James, Russell, and they basically got to do the same thing with Steve's secret plays. I've seen those. Yeah,
that's funny.
But no, the Bucks big three is like it's the only real big three now in the league. But
yeah, it's a good. God, is the Nets the second? Maybe the Clippers with somebody.
You just could argue. First two guys? You could argue that Jason, Jalen, and Mart is
no.
if you want it.
No.
You could argue it.
You shouldn't.
No. You shouldn't. You're gonna lose the argument.
Probably, but. He's a defensive player of the year, whether he deserved it or not.
It's the most fraud defensive player of the year.
They do not have a top two big three in the East, and they may not have a top four big three in the East.
Best big three in the NBA now is
Bucks.
Rudy Gobert.
Not a bad one.
That's a good one.
That's a big
good
four.
One.
In the East, Bucks.
Who's four?
D'Lo?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're putting Marcus Smart in a big three. We could put D'Lo in a big four, for God's sake.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Bucks, Sixers with Harden, Embiid, Maxey. Solid. Tobias Harris is a big four. It's pretty solid, too. The Nets, I mean, we don't know what Ben Simmons is. Theoretically, could be good again. And KD and Kyrie. The Heat.
We forgot about the Hawks.
No, we didn't. No.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no. Make the playoffs. We didn't forget about the Hawks. The Heat, maybe? I don't know who what the three players are. But
is it Oladipo? I'm not counting.
No, I think it's one of Lowry and Hero.
Oh, I forgot Hero.
And then Jimmy and Bam.
I think, yeah, it's not Lowry anymore.
Yeah, if he gets healthy. Maybe Tyler Hero. I don't know. It's not great. Kind of falls apart.
It's a big two. It's a good big two.
Yeah, it's a pretty good big two.
But the Bucks are the best big three in the league.
Best big four? The Clippers have some things to say, but I got to see them actually play all together.
Who's the third?
Yeah, that's the. I mean, their big two is. They probably are the best big two.
Nick Batum, yeah, obviously.
I sneakily think the Lakers are in big two combos, but nothing else.
Yeah.
If they actually play.
I have to see Anthony Davis touch a basketball before I do anything with his name.
I think they're a good big two, though. Clippers are a big, good big two. Bucks are the best big three.
Yeah. Probably the best big four.
Who's four? Brooke?
Yeah, probably.
No, Marjan.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Pat.
Bud.
They have the best big team. Whole team.
Yes.
This big org.
We have the biggest org.
And with that.
The org is huge. Yeah. You know, I'm out of thoughts. I'm out of thoughts on
it. But yeah, KD, stay in a Brooklyn net.
For now. For now.
Who knows? Do you think we repeat the saga next season?
I think we repeat this saga in January, my guy. Like, you know, DeAndre Ayton becomes trade eligible in a few months. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
The respite that is going to be the 2 months between election ending and KD asking out in January is going to be a blissful time.
December, January basketball, baby.
I will just say, like, if it happens again, listener, you don't have to care that much. You know, follow the news vaguely. I would wager a guess, outside of people I host podcasts with, the most plugged in NBA person out of people I know, right? Like, that's what I'm kind of known as. I'm not digging through all these articles. I'm not listening to all these pods. If there's news, cool. If there's not, you know, watch Rohan break down some film on Twitter. Do something productive with your life. That's the only thing that's productive in life. But you just don't need to be so invested. I've seen people, all this stuff was for nothing. Cost me nothing, too. Yeah. No investment.
Yeah.
Go outside, even. Read a book.
Take a walk or something.
Read Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP by Miran Feda.
Touch grass.
Touch the Giannis book, then grass. Do both, yep. I guess. Read outside.
Or touch grass while reading the Giannis book.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it like a nice stroll to the park or something.
If you're in Milwaukee, go to Veterans Park. It's a beautiful time.
Oak Creek Meyer parking lot?
That's not grass.
There's probably some trees out there somewhere. It's Oak Creek.
Yeah, it's
called Oak Creek. It has to be.
Trees aren't grass.
What do you think a tree grows in?
What are the trees planted in concrete?
You put them in mulch.
Yeah, they have a huge field of mulch at the Oak Creek Meyer with trees sticking out of it.
Listen, man.
It's like Caelid and Elden Ring. Just dead and then trees.
That is a Lost reference.
Yeah, someone will get it. But okay, Rohan.
Let's wrap this
playing
up.
The music.
thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you, Numak, for making your Eurostep debut.
Absolutely.
Make sure you listen to Talk of the Tundra, GSPN's Green Bay Packers podcast. I almost said Milwaukee Bucks podcast. Green Bay Packers podcast.
Listen to the Bucks one too, please.
Yeah. Make sure you subscribe to all the feeds. You can see that all on gspn.info. That's where you get access to all the feeds, or Substack, or YouTube, whatever you want. You can find GSPN related on gspn.info. Our store, that's there too, so you can get the best merch in the game. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.